everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. We are doing SummerSlam 2011 tonight. We got a big one, the Summer of Punk, a lot to get into. But first, I'm here with some good friends and my brother. Dougie's here.
Yo.
Our boy Quinn is here.
Yo.
Stevie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
And, of course, last but not least, my boy Eric. How you doing, Eric?
What's up?
Not much.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a great one. You guys ready to get into it?
Well,
yeah,
absolutely. We have to get into first. Did you not know that?
Well, of course I know that. I was going to kind of do all that. All right. Before we get into it, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
Okay. Listen to Boxman and Smark, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. That's not what I was talking about. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Listen to us 6:30 p.m. Eastern time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next Friday night, we will be doing a feud retrospective on a WCW feud between Chris Jericho and Dean Malenko.
Oh, shit. I missed that.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when your mommy schedules you to talk to the Lord.
Yeah. Wow.
So, but yeah, so that'll be next week. Tomorrow night, probably what, seven or eight? Here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Join Daniel, Eric, and I for Unscripted Unlimited. We're going to talk Big Brother, UFC, do some spotlights. And of course, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, join Daniel and Mindy for Scaredy Cats. What are you talking about on Sunday?
The Haunting.
So what Mindy does every night.
The famous Owen Wilson and Liam Neeson that got kind of shit on when it first came out. We're going to visit it and go back to it.
Wasn't that called like House on Haunted Hill?
No. It's The Haunting.
Okay.
Quit trying to do that. You're pissing me off now. All right. You want to get into the news? You got any more plugs?
No, I'm good with the plugs. Oh, except for September 18th, we'll be in Merchantville, New Jersey for the Merchantville Toy Street Fair. We're going to be selling some toys, some comic books. So join us there Saturday, September 18th from 10 to 4. All right, I stand corrected. It is
nice.
Funny.
Don't cut your own co-host balls off.
All right, I'll try not to.
Okay.
Somebody else just said okay. All right, so get into some news.
Yeah, what do you got?
Okay, well, apparently something was bothering Eric all week. I don't know if it's just he's going through menopause or what's going on. Eric, we'll give you the floor.
What was bothering me? I forget now. Wrestling fans.
Yeah, we know this on time.
I just want to say that just enjoy the product. I mean, you have, what, like 5, 6 different promotions right now? And there's a promotion for everybody, a cup of tea. I mean, why does it have to be competition? Why does it have to be this war? I mean, AEW is on the rise, I guess. Then WWE is just WWE. You got MLW that's back. The ROH is not under the radar. I guess they're not in the spotlight, but still, you got all these promotions, you got New Japan. I'm just sick of people thinking about one is better than another. They're all good in their own way.
Okay, so what brought this
out? I don't know. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, this is a conversation to be had there. You're not wrong. Unfortunately, this fan base, which is a lot of what listens to our show, by the way.
So tread lightly.
Wrestling fans like to bitch. Fans of anything like to bitch. If you're into something, if you're... Yeah. Like, I see it every day. I'm a Game of Thrones, you know, me with the superheroes and DC. I'm in groups, and people are the exact same way. Of any sort of entertainment, sports, Philly fans, Philly Eagles fans. Sorry, Clint, I don't mean you, but a lot of the people here suck. A lot of Buffalo fans are very...
Yeah, don't get me started on that one.
The football fans, it's everything. It's not just wrestling, but wrestling... is very loud because a lot of it is guys in their mom's basements with, you know, a healthy obsession with the keyboard. So, yeah, they talk a lot of shit and they bitch a lot and nothing's ever right. But that is just how things are, and that's how fans are usually when they're into something. They say they're a fan, but they're really just watching to bitch about it.
Exactly. I wouldn't say they're fans. I say they're more critics.
But... Well, they also want to seem like they know what they're talking about, too, which is understandable. But you can watch, especially like wrestling, where there's so much content. You can watch a 2-hour piece of content, a 3-hour piece of content. You can listen to our show and say, "Oh, there's some stuff wrong here. There's a couple things that are shitty. There's a couple things that aren't." But wrestling fans just bitch. I don't see like. Why aren't people, like, saying, yeah, SmackDown sucks, but Roman Reigns is fucking killing it right now? Why aren't they saying this? Why aren't they giving them their flowers for their due? Because Roman Reigns is on an incredible run. He deserves praise. Why aren't they saying that Darby Allin is one of the hottest baby faces right now? Even though a lot of AEW is bullshit, I've said that. But there are good stuff to sift around and to enjoy, too. So, I mean, I would say positive, but... A lot of people don't do that.
Well, and also you got to remember, too, you got to look at some of, like, the people that used to be in the wrestling business, they used to be in the spotlight that aren't in it anymore, that like to critique everything that's going on. Jim Cornette is a fine example.
I don't know if that's great of an example.
Well,
I don't think he's bitter, though, because he's not in the spotlight. Like, I think a lot of other people
I
think he genuinely loves the product and just fucking... thinks this is the way certain shit should
be. I think he just likes to bitch about stuff.
Yeah.
All right, and it's the same thing. And Punk's actually kind of the same way.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is why, like, CM Punk is going to AEW or whatever, or which I still don't buy. And a lot of people don't buy it. A lot of people don't think it's going to happen. They think Daniel Bryan's going, but they don't think Punk's going. Because here's the thing. Once Punk gets there and he doesn't like the way something is going, then...
He'll leave.
Yeah, he's going to leave, and he's going to talk trash about him, saying, oh, I didn't like how this was there. I didn't like, you know, Kenny Omega calling himself the best in the world when I'm the best in the world.
I agree.
But it's just like... Because Punk is a complainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punk is a woman trapped in a man's body.
But he even said that Roman Reigns is it's the best thing they're doing with him right now.
Right.
So he will give certain stuff
flowers.
It's hard
to ignore.
But he'll give certain stuff flowers, too. A lot of fans, a lot of those, like the 250-pound, which is okay, but the big guys in their mom's basements just want to complain, just want to go online and say all this shit.
Waterman.
And how they would do it better and how everyone would do it worse. It's just, it does get annoying. It gets stupid. And my answer to that is if you have a problem with that, leave those groups. You know, don't entertain that idea. Do your own thing and watch the product and enjoy it for what it is. Don't surround yourself around that negative energy.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So on a little bit of a sad note, we had some wrestling deaths this week. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The assassin Jody Hamilton. Died on Monday, I believe it was. Burt Prentice died on Tuesday, and beautiful Bobby Eaton died on Wednesday. So RIP to all of them. All right, yeah, we can pretty much get into SummerSlam now.
RIP Bobby Eaton, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, I mean, well, definitely. Yeah. That's actually the saddest one, and I feel bad for his kids because his wife just died.
Yeah.
She died at the beginning of...
Wow.
She died end of June, beginning of July.
And now he's going to go see her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's also sad is that his daughter Taryn actually found her and found him.
That is very sad.
All right, guys. Well, let's get into SummerSlam 2011. Clintus, I'm going to call on you because I want you to kind of set the scene for people. With the Summer of Punk, what's going on?
I'm going to go to the car, okay?
Okay. So the Summer of Punk, we just gone into SummerSlam. We just found Punk just left with the WWE title a month earlier at Money in the Bank. He won the title. He walked out, leaving a vacated WWE championship at the time. So now we have this problem. The next night on Raw, Mr. McMahon is let go of his full power. Triple H is the CEO, running things, sets up a tournament for the crown a new WWE champion in place of CM Punk, which is won by Rey Mysterio of all teams. The following week, during that night too, that once Rey Mysterio won, Cena is allowed a rematch for his WWE championship that he lost at Money in the Bank against Rey Mysterio, which Cena wins. Closing out Raw, you have the big Raw. You have the return of CM Punk, signing a new contract, holding his championship that he won from Cena. Cena holding the championship that he won Mysterio, setting up this big title clash at SummerSlam for the Undisputed Championship between him and Punk and Cena.
Very good. So that's pretty much setting the stage for what we got going on here. There's a lot of other programs, but that's the big thing. On the dark match, we got Dolph Ziggler going against Alex Riley. Doug, talk about Alex Riley's potential a little bit and what we could have had, because this is a guy that kind of got lost in the shuffle, but maybe a lot of potential there. What's your thoughts on Alex Riley?
I liked Alex Riley, like when he broke off from the Miz and he had that cool theme song and all that. And like, he had quite a couple of big victories against Miz, but then finally, you know, Miz finally beat him, and it's just like, okay, you know, maybe he's not as good as everybody thinks he is. I mean, yes, there was wasted potential, but I mean, if you like look at him at first, like when he first came on in that second season of the NXT deal where they had the rookies and the pros,
Yeah. He
looked like Miz.
Yeah.
But he looked like a taller, more jacked up version of him.
Yeah.
And he had the potential there, and like you thought he was actually going to do something once he broke off from the Miz. He was going to have this big babyface run. But I think it was more, I mean, he blames John Cena for it, which I don't know why.
Yeah, he still blames Cena.
I think it's also more like the guys that, you know, he didn't want to work with, or that didn't want to work with him, I mean. You know, like a guy that wouldn't put him on. I mean, Miz put him over like 3 times.
Yeah, Miz had his back.
Yeah. But after that, nobody else would put him over. I mean, Jack Swagger was in the middle of a, like, 78-match losing streak or whatever the hell it was. You know, he hadn't, when he beat Alex Riley on an episode of Raw, you know, Swagger hadn't won a match since he beat Jerry the King Lawler in a match, like, the week before WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's just like, okay, so you're going to kill this guy's push by having Swagger beat him? Swagger, who has not won a match in 5 months?
It makes very little sense, yeah.
And that's not necessarily a knock on Jack Swagger, even though I've compared him to a cancer of a certain, you know, body part that only men have. But Alex Riley, it just, for some reason, like, management just gave up on him. I don't know if it was actually Cena or if it's just, you know, people like Swagger and Ziggler who are just like, we're not going to put this guy over.
Yeah, and he was incredibly green, too. Like, he was good, and you could see that there was something there, but he was a little green, too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least I would say he was.
I mean, you're right. And also, like, when he kind of went on to do, like, the commentary thing, and then he got back in the ring when he was part of NXT, there really wasn't much. I mean, again, this was, like, years after the push had ended. But, like, if you really look at him, like, 2015, 2016, there really wasn't that much special about him.
No. It kind of...
It wavered off.
Yeah, it was gone. Whatever it was fucking gone.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the first match of this. We have the babyfaces. John Morrison, Kofi Kingston, and Rey Mysterio going against the heels. A Crazy R-Truth, The Miz, and Alberto Del Rio. What were your thoughts on this match, Stevie?
I thought it was a fun way to open up a tag team match. But I think I thought Morrison didn't have much of an impact, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that.
I think more, though, that this was kind of just built. It was a way for Ray not to have a singles match because Ray was hurt.
Yeah.
Like, they put this match together, basically, because Ray couldn't have a singles match because he was injured. Morrison was just coming off neck surgery, so they really didn't want him to do much. And they were starting the Morrison burial because they knew he was not going to re-sign. He was not going to, you know, sign a contract extension or sign a new contract when his deal came up.
Right.
And, you know, Kofi was just Kofi. And what you also have to remember, too, is Alberto Del Rio was the Money in the Bank holder at the time. And usually the Money in the Bank holder, like when they cash in the briefcase, they really don't have much momentum.
That's very true.
So this was technically just a way to protect Ray. Not really, you know, like Stevie said, they didn't showcase Morrison, but that's because they were getting ready to start the burial.
Yeah, because he snubbed Trish.
Well, yes. It had something to do with that. I mean, well, that was like 4 months, you know, 4 months before this.
Yeah, but the burial had already started. I think that a title shot and all this, I think that coming off of that WrestleMania, I thought John Morrison was probably going to be the next guy. John Cena didn't get the belt back. Miz was looking good. Someone had to take the belt off him. It seemed like John Morrison one day could have been that guy. But somewhere along the line, somewhere got fucked. He snubbed Trish at WrestleMania, and he never really got that opportunity.
Yeah. He snubbed Trish at WrestleMania, by the way, because he was upset that Melina didn't get Trish's spot.
Yes. Because that was his girlfriend.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Melina hadn't done anything in months. Or the only thing she had done, like, from the period of when she came back from an ACL injury to that WrestleMania, besides, like, a month reign of the women's title before they unified it and gave it to Michelle McCool, the only thing she had done since she lost the women's title in WrestleMania was Morrison. So, like, why give her the spot? If anybody deserved the spot, it was actually your girl.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, they had to put Trish in a spot because Trish was also a trainer on Tough Enough.
Yeah.
So they had to showcase her. That little Oompa Loompa from Jersey Shore had no business being...
Yeah, that was just weird. But this match was good for a multitude of reasons. It was only 10 minutes, but the amount of talent in the ring, there was a lot of people. And it set up Del Rio by losing, because usually the Money in the Bank guy will lose in the beginning
yeah.
of the card and then try to cash in later.
Yeah.
So it kind of set him off as he won't be a threat for later, so there you go. What were you going to say, Clement?
None.
Okay.
I think that was Eric I was trying to talk.
Was it?
No.
Right. R-Truth. How good was R-Truth back then, Clint? Did you like the little Jimmy and the psycho stuff, or were you not a fan?
Okay. So, this is the backstory of why the whole R-Truth and the psycho stuff is. And I guess if you listen to the R-Truth said himself that he was going through a dark time. And that's when, like, the drugs addiction and stuff, that's exactly when he was actually on, during that this high little Jimmy type of thing. I enjoyed it. I think it was funny. It was great. But knowing the backstory of why it happened, it kind of, like, ruins it.
Yeah.
And if you understand what I'm talking about. Because you realize R-Truth, this is his first time. He had a title shot at Capital Punishment. All people, R-Truth, getting a WWE championship.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of the better R-Truths that we got. I mean, he's funny now, and he's still good, but I think the character was really strong back then.
It was strong enough to get him a title shot.
That's true. All right. Eric and Stevie, what do you guys think?
I thought overall it was a good match. So, very entertaining to watch, put it to you that way. Because I thought they were great competitors going in. So I have nothing really bad to say about it.
Okay.
There?
Eric.
You there, buddy? All right. We're having some technical difficulties with Eric, but that's fine. Let's give this a rating, guys.
All right, Eric, are you back?
Oh, he left. All right. Stevie, what would you rate this match, 1 out of 10?
I'd probably give it a 6, to be perfectly honest. That'd be my rating.
All right. Clintus, what would you give it?
I'll give it a 6, so.
Okay. Eric, you here?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What would you...
I'll give it a 6.
Okay.
I thought the match was entertaining for first the opening match. I mean, all six guys were had some role in it, so I give it a six.
I'm giving it a six, too. I mean, it was fun to watch because you had three really good athletic baby faces on one side. And you had three heels that were... One is the best person to play a piece of shit. The other one had very untapped potential as a piece of shit. And the third one... just was a piece of shit.
Which one are you? Okay.
Del Pervo.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yeah. All
right. Let's move on, gentlemen. Next up, Mark Henry and Sheamus. Henry gets the win by countout. A little underwhelming, but Stevie, what do you think of this match? Big Stevie,
you got to talk, buddy.
Yeah, what was that again?
What did you think of Mark Henry and Sheamus?
I thought it was a solid brawl, but it had a great finish, and they both had chemistry in the ring together, so I thought the match went really well.
Absolutely. Now, Eric, I'm going to pass it back to you. Sheamus has done a lot of stuff in his WWE career. What did you think of his babyface run around this time?
I preferred him as a heel, but for this storyline, I like this storyline with Mark Henry as a monster. And yeah. I liked how they didn't have him get pinned. So it saved both sides, and they continued to feud. Did they continue to feud? I forget.
Not really, because Mark Henry got moved on to the world title run.
Yeah.
Okay. But it still saved Sheamus as a babyface, and he didn't have to get pinned, so I like the finish, even though I don't like timeouts that much. It was a good finish, because it saved both guys.
Doug, what did you think? Do you think the Hall of Pain Mark Henry and this is the best Mark Henry we've ever gotten?
Yeah, and he was really good as a monster heel. And, like, the whole thing, like, him being so... I mean, it was kind of hard. At first, like, it was kind of hard to take him seriously. He did a job to Miz in 3 minutes. Like, the previous December, but, like, the majority of 2010, he was doing three-minute jobs to guys. And it's just he wasn't, like, really that much of a threat. So in 2011, when he finally turned, and then, like, you know, he's getting, you know, 1 week he's getting knocked out by Big Show, who's nodding him in the side of his head, and then the next week he breaks Big Show's ankle. Like, it took a while for me to buy into it. But finally, you know, it happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What do you think of his run with Batista? Do you like that heel run, too? I know it's short-lived, but...
If they would have kept it going, here's what harmed that. All right, both guys got hurt. All right, Batista got hurt first, came back to do the feud with Mark Henry, and then Mark Henry got hurt.
Yeah.
That had potential, but Hall of Pain was probably his best work.
Yeah, because if that feud would have continued, first of all, that match was probably the more anticipated match of that Great American Bash. That Great American Bash 2006.
Yeah.
And then we didn't get it. And instead we got Batista and Mr. Kennedy. And Batista tried to kill Kennedy by busting his head open. And Kennedy lost so much blood that he was very close to actually bleeding out.
Right.
It's your boy Dave.
That was a crazy match. Dave's the man, though. All right, guys. Well, what are we gonna rate this? Quite a, what did you think, and what are you gonna rate this at?
I mean, I like the match. I mean, this is like the Hall of Fame Mark Henry, the best Mark Henry ever. I was a big fan of Mark Henry at this time. So I'm gonna rate the match. I'll give it a 6. But yeah, to answer your question, was this the best Mark Henry? Yes, it was.
Absolutely. Doug?
I'm going to give it a 6.5. Mainly because I like this match. I liked, you know, Sheamus's babyface run, or the start of it, because he was just like, I think he filled the role as a babyface really well. And that written on my face, or, you know, the theme music he used at the time,
yeah,
that's a babyface theme.
Whoa.
Because, yeah. No, not The Longest Time by Billy Joel. All right, I thought that was really nice. But, like, that song, like, when that song hits, everybody pops.
Yeah.
Like, even when he came back, I think it was the 2014 Royal Rumble. And, like, you know, the Shield, they were cornering Punk. They were about ready to, you know, surround him and beat the shit out of him. And then Sheamus' music hits, and it's like the shame for me, you know, all that shit. And Michael Cole fucking popped. You know, the whole crowd popped. Michael Cole popped. He's like, oh, yeah. And then Sheamus runs down to the ring. That's a babyface theme song.
Yeah.
And, like, so they were right to, when he turned heel, they were right to get rid of it.
Yeah. That was smart.
Yeah.
Eric, what would you give this?
I gave it a 7. I thought storyline-wise, it had potential, but too bad they didn't continue it, because I thought it would have been even more better.
Steve, what do you think?
Well, I'll probably give it a 7. Because I liked the finish to it, and plus I thought Sheamus was a great baby face back then. So I'd probably go 7 with this.
All right. Sweet. I'll probably go 6. I thought this was good for what it was, but it had a little less spectacle than the match before. So let's move on.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, like this match, I mean, Sheamus' baby face run was good, as long as he had that theme. Like I said, that theme I think is what made the run, especially like when it hit and the people would pop.
Yeah, I did like him better as a heel, though. I agree with Eric on that.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's a very good heel because he's a dick, and that bro kick can actually come out of nowhere.
Yeah, he can bro you. Excuse me. All right. Kelly and Beth Phoenix for the Divas Championship. We're obviously a little removed. We're not quite to the Women's Revolution, but Kelly was a beautiful champion. What do we think, Quinneth?
I mean, for what it was an okay match. I mean, what else you want to get when the Divas was and they just treat them like an afterthought, and that's exactly what it was. It was more about the most beautiful person on the roster was going to hold that title, no matter what. No matter if you can win or wrestle or not. If you look good, you was going to hold the title.
Kelly did get better over time, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, when she first started, and Daniel, I know you're a big fan.
Yeah.
But when she first started, she was not that good. But remember, she came in, they brought her in, she was just a model. They brought her in because they said, look, you're going to be an exhibitionist, you're going to try to take your clothes off, but some asshole is going to stop you every week.
Yeah.
She wasn't trained to wrestle. But then she wanted to train to wrestle.
Yeah. I remember her complaining about having to dance all the time and that she wanted to get in the ring and stuff.
Yeah. And so, like, and when she got in and she put in the work, which, by the way, the trainer of the women at that time was Fit Finlay.
Yeah, he was badass.
Yeah. So he basically – he worked with the women from – because he was actually one of the people that came over from WCW, but he didn't come over as a wrestler. He came over as an agent at first, right? So when he came over, basically Vince's deal with him was you're producing the women, you're training the women. You know, because when I think women's wrestling, I think Fit Finlay. But he did a hell of a job. I mean, he was actually gone from here, you know, for a little bit because he got into some trouble, so Vince fired him.
Because of the Miz shit, right?
Did it have something to do with Miz?
Yeah, because Miz's music played during the national anthem at a house show, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right, and they blamed him.
Yeah, well, because he booked it.
Yeah.
Or he was the agent for it, and they had Miz interrupt the national anthem, and people were pissed.
Oh, yeah, because, like, you know, and then, because Fit was actually supposed to be the one in charge. He was actually supposed to be the one training Snooki how to wrestle.
Really?
Like, that way, like, he was supposed to agent the match and all that, and he was supposed to work with Snooki. Well, they fired him, so there was no fucking, there wasn't anybody, because Trish didn't want a trainer. So, basically, that match was doomed from the start because the one guy that could have possibly turned Snooki into a worker, you know, they fired him because some jackass, you know, played Miz's music, you know, over the national anthem, which I don't think Finlay was over there pushing the button. But instead of firing the sound guy, you fire the guy that actually could have turned what was a shitty, you know, 90-second WrestleMania match into something that could have been at least watchable.
You're right.
But getting back to this match, Kelly Kelly was so much better here. She got better over time, like I said. And Beth Phoenix was always good.
Yeah.
Okay. But Kelly got better over time, which is, you know, not very easy to do. Like, yes, some people do go from the bottom up from the top, but, you know, she proved that she had the work ethic.
Exactly.
She got shit done. I thought she improved drastically. I thought this was a good Divas match for what it was, a good 7-minute match. I think Kelly played the babyface very well, and I think Beth Phoenix played the heel very well.
Yes. Well, whenever I booked Beth as a babyface, I always thought that was a big mistake.
Yeah, and Beth goes on to win the title soon anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, they have this match, then they have the Night of Champions match, which is actually in Beth's hometown. Which was also our hometown, by the way.
Kelly won that one, too, though, right?
Yeah. And then they gave Beth the next shot, and she ended up winning it at Hell in a Cell. So instead of giving it to Beth in her hometown when her mother was there.
I know.
Fuck that.
You give it to, you know, when her mother was there, you give it to, you know, Beth, that, you know, Hell in a Cell, which actually, you know, made sense. She had to get it eventually.
You know, it's funny now that we talk about this and Kelly, because my hot take, and I know that's going to get one of our co-hosts upset, you would not have Nikki Bella without Kelly.
I 100% agree on that.
He's either not listening or that's him breathing heavy over the phone. Clinton?
Yeah?
Who had the better overall career, Nikki Bella or Kelly? Yeah.
I'll say Nikki Bella.
Oh, Jesus. All right, what are we going to rate this one, guys?
I'm gonna give it a 6. Stevie?
I'm probably going to give it a 6.
I'll give it a 6. It was a solid match for a good Divas match. You put Kelly Kelly over.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6 too.
I already answered.
I'll give it a 6. Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan.
This match was actually really good.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. And it was cool they had a good amount of single. There wasn't too many title matches on this card.
No.
They had Cody beat Ezekiel on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So.
And Dolph, who was the United States champion, he wrestled the dark match against Riley.
That makes sense. Eric.
Yes.
As a Daniel Bryan fan, do you think the right guy won?
Yes. Because Wade Barrett was hot at the time after the match. This was after the Nexus Feud, right? With John Cena?
This was way after.
Yeah. Yeah, he was still hot, and I think they dropped the ball on Wade Barrett. I thought he had great potential as a he could have been champion. I thought they dropped the ball on that one. I love Wade Barrett. Yeah, he had the mic skills. He was good in the ring. He had everything. He had the charisma.
The problem is, though, that they change his theme song every 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Diamond Barrett thing could have gone over, too.
Like you said, it was over. It was very much over.
Yeah.
So, the thing with Barrett, and yeah, I'm going to say, too, that the right guy won. But this, like, the whole thing with Daniel Bryan, and again, it goes back to that the Money in the Bank holder can't have a lot of momentum.
No.
So, but yeah, like, I think the right guy won. But yeah, this match, the only thing that bothered me about this match was that Michael Cole was trying to get backstory to it. And yes, Michael Cole's a heel, and he's annoying. But
I thought this was weird, too.
But he's trying to get backstory to it, but Buttfucker T was just like, who cares about the history of this? Shut the fuck up.
Well, because him and King were both like, do you have a point? And it's like, yeah, he's telling you what the match is about, you dicks.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I got to go. There's something came up at the glee, so I'll talk to you guys next week or so.
Sounds good. Have a good one, King.
All right, later.
Peace out.
Later.
All right. See, money's out of here. Now we got Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan still. I thought this match was good. I don't think it was outstanding, but I thought it was good. I think Wade Barrett did the best he could do. I don't think he was tremendously over his push. Because after the net, he was pretty lukewarm after the whole Nexus thing.
They had him drop the title to the Intercontinental title to Ezekiel Jackson.
At Capital Punishment.
Yeah, well, that whole pay-per-view was Capital Punishment.
But, the core, a lot of that stuff failed, so he really wasn't over like he needed to be anymore. So it makes sense. Give him a win over Daniel Bryan. I was cool with it. I give the match 7 stars.
I'm going to give it an 8, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, the only thing I didn't like was the fact that, like, Michael Cole's trying to give a history lesson, which is what you're supposed to do. When you're the play-by-play guy, you're supposed to give the history lesson.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be an obnoxious, annoying, you know, Miz-licking buttfucker.
Yeah.
Okay? But you're supposed to give a history lesson. But these other two assholes, one who probably had a date with a kindergartner after the show, and the other one, who is the most annoying color commentator on the fucking planet.
Mark Madden?
All right, so the second most annoying color commentator on the planet, Booker T. Like,
I thought it was the other way around you were talking about.
No, King's the pedophile. But anyway, like, they're just – that just bothered me. Like, the whole – like, the commentary thing, like, it didn't take a lot away from the match, but it took, like, a little bit because I really did enjoy this match. But I don't – I did not – first of all, we could have watched this whole pay-per-view on mute. It would have been so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a terrible commentary, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they suck. And it's not, it's not, you know, the fact that, because the matches weren't bad. The matches were actually really good. It's just, when you have three guys who, you know, the chemistry's just not there, you know, why are you going to want to listen to these fuckers talk?
You know, what's the point?
You're going to want to go upstairs. You're going to want to masturbate instead.
Yeah. You're right. They took it away from the match. Did we get a rating from Stevie?
Probably not.
Stevie.
I thought it was a very good match. So I'm probably going to have to give it a 6.
I'll give it 7.5. I liked it.
Wow.
Did they continue in a feud? Or was this a one night thing?
No, it was a feud because Wade Barrett thought he was going to win the briefcase.
Yeah, so that's why.
Okay.
Did Eric give it a ring?
Here's a hot take. I thought Wade Barrett should have won the briefcase, not Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Well, yeah, because Daniel Bryan's first run was ass cheeks. But did you give it a rating, Eric?
7.5.
Okay. I'll give it a... Did I say 6? Yeah, I said 7. I'll give it a 7. Randy Orton and Christian. We're on to the two main events here. Randy Orton and Christian, no holds barred for the World Heavyweight title match. What did you think of the story? What did you think about this match? What did you think about Christian? Give me your thoughts, Doug.
Okay, so I was really happy for Christian when he won the title at Extreme Rules.
Yes.
But the fact that, like, Vince McMahon had no plans for him to have a run, they wanted to kind of just do something with Edge to where Edge would help him win the title. Because they wanted to, you know, capitalize on the emotion of Edge's retirement.
Yeah.
So they were gonna do that instead, and basically, you know, they had Christian drop the title to Orton. I mean, technically it was 5 days later on. It was 5 days later on television. Technically, it was 2 days after he won.
Yeah.
So I thought it was bullshit, and I thought I didn't like it. Even though I love Randy Orton. The whole thing was just, it was stupid. Yes, Orton and Christian had really good matches.
Yes.
I do agree with the storyline. Yeah. Or I did really like the storyline.
And I was
fine with
Christian being a heel, too.
Yeah, I was fine with Christian being a heel, but a whiny little bitch. One more man. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but I think that was...
He got overwhelming.
But
yeah,
he was good at being that smarky kind of bitchy whining. And I liked the thing with Edge before this match, too, where Edge was kind of like, fuck you, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And at first, it was fine, but... I'm sorry, Doug.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, at first it was fine, then it just got overwhelming and over too much dragged out.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too.
What are you going to give the match?
The match, I'm going to give it a 9.
Yeah.
Because I really thought it was a good match.
I like this over the next match. I'm giving it a 10.
I can see that.
Yeah, I'll
I
give you a 9.
Both guys best match in the really card. Well together. She was such a good...
And that RKO was... Oh. Sorry.
The RKO on the steel steps, yeah.
Yeah. And Christian did great in the heel run, spitting on him and shit. Randy got pissed. It was just done really well. It sucks that this is then for Christian in the title picture, but
right.
He had a good storyline there.
Yeah, he did, because you capitalized on Randy Orton, the fact that Randy Orton actually has anger issues.
Yeah. And he was a good baby face. This is one of the better Randy Ortons, so. All right. Stevie, what would you rate it?
Well, I thought it was a very good match. I put it in the 4-star range, and I thought it was very entertaining to watch. So I'd probably give it a 10.
All right. Stevie agrees with me.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the main event, gentlemen.
Okay.
CM Punk and John Cena. This is a hot program. Clinton gave us the backstory at the beginning. Eric, what did you think?
I love this storyline. I mean, I was a CM Punk mark at the time. Still kind of am, if he's coming back. The storyline was perfect. It was great. It was done very well. I saw John Cena put. I saw the right guy won. I didn't like. Now that we know about Alberto Del Rio, I don't think cashing in that. I thought that was stupid that Kevin Nash had to interfere and all that bullshit at the end. But other than that, the match was great.
Yeah, the cash in was very underwhelming.
Yeah.
It was underwhelming because they had something good with Punk, but you could just tell Vince McMahon did not want this. This is one of those organic things that happen, you know, with the crowd and all that, that he did not want to happen. It was the same thing with Zack Ryder. It was kind of the same thing as Daniel Bryan.
But to me, this was like the hottest wrestling had gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, this is like Austin-level popularity almost.
Yeah, because Punk had to get himself over, and he did. But the thing is that, and again, I don't like CM Punk. I think he's a boob. I think he's a bastard. So actually, around this time, like, as much as I enjoyed, like, watching everything that was going on, I didn't care about Punk.
Really?
Yeah, like, it was just more like, because he just came off as a whiny little bitch on TV.
Around this time?
I mean, he kind of grew on me, like, after. Like, when he won the title, I thought it was a great moment and all that, when he beat Alberto at the Garden.
Well, and that's what's interesting about this. And let's bring it back to Eric's initial point at the beginning of the show. I think the reason you think it's whiny and bitching is because you kind of agree with what I was saying earlier. But CM Punk was the voice for the voiceless, which means he talked for those guys in their mother's basements. He's the one that said Vince should be dead, or it would be better when he's dead, but Triple H is a doofus. He was talking for the fans. So he brought the fans, and that's why it's one of the hottest people. Like, it's one of the hottest acts because the fans are like, oh, this guy's bitching too, just like us.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, too, is that, like, you know, now Vince McMahon is starting to realize that, like, if Triple H and Stephanie actually did take over the company,
they're fucked.
Well, no, Vince is having Nick Khan ruin the company right now.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another time because Vince is actually realizing, you know, things might actually be better when I'm dead. So let's have somebody ruin the company now so it's not fixable. So I can die and the thing can die with me. We could be buried together.
I mean, no, but yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I had to take a couple of minutes to bury Vince McMahon. But the thing with Punk is, yes, it was a very over storyline and all that, but Cena, I liked Cena at the time. I would have preferred Cena over Punk.
Yeah, you are in the vast minority.
Yeah.
No one agrees with you.
I know.
People loved Punk around this time, including me.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of hard for me to feel. I mean, yes, he didn't do it until 3 years later, but, like, it's hard for me to feel sorry for a guy when, like, you know, he bitched about being fired on his wedding day.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, asshole? You walked out on him 8 months, six or eight months earlier. So what are they supposed to fucking do? You say you don't want to go back. They have to release you. All right. Did you send them a wedding invitation to let them know when your wedding was? I'm thinking no. So, like, how are they supposed to know when your fucking wedding day is? All right, if you didn't want them to release you, you shouldn't have left. So, Punk should have just, but, like, around this time, I do understand, like, half the stuff he was saying, though. Like, you know, and that whole pipe bomb thing. I just...
Yeah. But I got a question.
Sure.
And that whole pipe bomb thing, do you think he went too far? Because I thought he did.
Well, how so?
The way he, you know, wished Vince McMahon was, like, dead and all that crap. I think he went a little bit too far. You know what I mean? What he said.
Yeah, but Stevie, there's a lot of people that wish Vince McMahon were dead. I mean, they're not going to say it out loud.
Right.
It might be implied, but they're not going to say it, but they're not, the words aren't actually going to come out of their mouths. So,
yeah,
he shouldn't have said it on TV.
Right,
but,
he should have never said it on TV.
I mean, he shouldn't have, but Vince McMahon has had worse done to him, and Vince McMahon has had worse said about him. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, 13 years earlier, shoved an IV up his ass.
Yeah,
that's true. DX dumped shit from a porter potty on him.
Yeah, but he booked that. He didn't book that. He didn't know what Punk was going to say. At least that's what they say.
He had to have known.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think it was a work?
Yeah, I do. I think it was a work with Punk and some of the other people that told him he could do that.
Vince being one of them?
Yeah, I mean, yes, they did cut the mic off and all that, but, I mean, they cut the mic off during works all the time.
It's not real, but I get what you're saying.
I don't know, I just...
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And Del Rio ruined the match by cashing in.
Yeah, it was
right.
Kevin Nash. Fuck Kevin Nash. He had no business to be in there. And what do we get out of that? Ooh, a sledgehammer ladder match. Yay.
Now you know why we shit on Kevin Nash.
Well, and here's the thing. Is that, like, I get... I don't necessarily get it, like... If the payoff was going to be a match between Triple H and Kevin Nash in 2011, like Kevin Nash has even said, he's like, I had no business being in there at the time. It's like, yeah, but you still went, but you went because they offered you money, which is if somebody came up to me, I mean, my knees are shot, okay?
Yeah.
But if somebody came up to me and said, you know, we're going to pay you about, let's say, $2 million, you have to go in there and, you know, compete in a tables, ladders, and chairs match. We know you have bad knees, but guess what? We're going to give you $2 million. Okay, cool. You do that if they say they're going to pay you. You'd be stupid not to take the money.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Kevin Nash is not stupid.
No.
He's a dick, but he's not stupid.
So the match, I would probably give an 8 out of 10. I thought the match itself was good before the whole.
I would give it an 8.
I'd probably give it an 8.
I give it a 7 just because it's ending. Ending ruined it for me.
I agree.
Kind of.
All right. Now that we're getting to the end, let's give our final thoughts on the pay-per-view and take it home here. Eric, you start.
I thought this was a solid pay-per-view, one of the probably best, not best SummerSlam, but it was a solid show, worth the money. I thought the two main events, two title matches, were outstanding matches. And then you got all the other matches that were really good, too. No bad match on this card. I'll put it out.
Stevie, what are your final thoughts?
I thought the whole pay-per-view was solid. Nothing really bad to say about it. So I'd probably give it like an 8 out of 10. I thought it was very enjoyable.
Absolutely. Eric, I didn't get your rating, I don't think. My bad. What do you got?
Yeah, I'll give it 8.5.
Okay. All right. I would actually give the pay-per-view an 8 myself. I thought top to bottom it was entertaining. You started off with fireworks with six talented guys. You had an okay Divas match for the time. It was good. The two title matches, Eric hit it right on the head, made the show. Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryant was good work. Mark Henry and Sheamus, little untapped potential, but still a good match. There's a lot to go back and watch about this card that is good stuff, so I will give it an 8. Doug, take us home.
Okay, so first I'm going to say this. Back in the old days of me doing community service by being on the THT show, we actually did a top 10 SummerSlams list, and this was actually like in my top 10.
Was it?
Yeah, and I got ridiculed by a certain, not the good co-host of the show. So not by Box, but by the other guy.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, oh, what? Because I tried to, you know, give props to the show. And he's like, you shouldn't do that. It's like, fuck you. But this show was actually, I thought this show was solid. And I would give the show, I would agree with my boo and give the show an 8.5. Because top to bottom, it was a really good show. Orton and Christian, I think, was the best match of the night.
Yeah.
Now, with saying that, because we are in SummerSlam month, obviously next week, because Eric's going to be talking to the Lord, he won't be here, so we're doing the feud retrospective. How about in 2 weeks, we do... we go a little bit old school and we do SummerSlam 91 because we're going on 30 years.
Okay.
August 27th, we're going to do a SummerSlam that I personally believe top to bottom is the greatest SummerSlam of all time. And that's SummerSlam 2000. Because on August 27th.
That's the greatest SummerSlam to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Top to bottom. I believe that is the greatest SummerSlam of all time.
Rock, Kurt, and Triple H?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not my favorite SummerSlam.
I think it's the greatest.
But I think it's the greatest. My favorite is 91. But the greatest is August 27th will be the 21-year anniversary of it because it was 21 years ago on that day that pay-per-view happened.
You're that big of a fan of Terry Runnels and the Cat?
There were a couple of hiccups on that show, but I do think that show, just like, you know, we would say there's a couple of hiccups about WrestleMania 17.
True.
But people call WrestleMania 17 top to bottom the greatest. The greatest WrestleMania of all time.
Yeah.
I think SummerSlam 2000, which is one of the reasons why I want to do it, on the anniversary date, is the greatest SummerSlam of all time. Because you had Rock, Triple H, Kurt Angle. You had Benoit and Jericho, 2 out of 3 falls. You had TLC. You had Undertaker and Kane in what really wasn't a match. It was more of a brawl.
Yeah.
You had Steve Blackman and Shane McMahon in a crazy-ass fucking hardcore match.
Yes.
You had there were so Taz and Jerry Lawler actually had a decent match.
That's true.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm gonna stick by it. That is my personal opinion, and that's why, you know, in 3 weeks we'll do that. 2 weeks, SummerSlam 91, which probably is the changing of, you know, the dawn kind of, or the end of, like, the original golden era.
Yeah.
Because this was basically, like, new guys were coming in and taking over and all that.
Right.
Which we'll get into, we'll obviously get into that. But, yeah, next week, Feud Retrospective, and then in the next 2 weeks, we'll finish off SummerSlam with a couple of good ones.
Sounds good. All right, everybody, this was a blast. And we will see everybody next week.
Pepper Eric.
See you next
week.
Later,
guys.
Well, Eric will see you tomorrow.
Later.
Later. Yep. The cost of something I would see.